All right. Praise the Lord. It is Communion Sunday. So we are going to focus on a time of communion. To me, is a time of celebration for God's forgiveness and reconciliation. What he did for us is just so amazing, and we get to participate in what Jesus did. It's kind of like the prayer that Pete prays and has taught many of us to pray. We become one with him on the cross. Our sin nature dies. We receive what he's done for us through his body and blood, but it really focuses on what he's done for us through his body and his blood. And that's why Jesus implemented the Last Supper, communion, so that we would remember the incredible price that it took to redeem us back through his body and his blood. But we're going to look a little bit in Colossians chapter 1, because Colossians chapter 1 actually talks about the blood, how the blood is for redemption and forgiveness of sins, and how through his body he reconciled us to the Father. So, Father, we love you and praise you. Again, we can't thank you enough for being willing, for loving us so much, that you and your Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit came up with this incredible plan of salvation, that he would leave heaven and come to earth to show us the way from the earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Thank you for his death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you most for his body and for his blood. Thank you for making a way for us to have forgiveness of sins, for redeeming us to have forgiveness of sins and to reconcile us back to you, to restore us back to right relationship with you. And not only where Adam and Eve fell, but to an even greater, higher realm, a greater blessing and relationship with you as we're born again and made the children of the Most High God. So, Father, we just want to take this time during this communion time to remember what you've done for us, what your Son Jesus did for us with his body and his blood. And we want to, as we enter in and we receive the body and blood of Jesus, Holy Spirit, just come in such an awesome, radical, powerful way to touch each of our hearts, our minds, our bodies. Give us fresh visions, fresh goals, fresh missions. Just release the power of God in this place, we pray. And we'll give you thanks and glory for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Amen. Well, that's good. So today is Communion Sunday. So we want to take the time to remember the amazing love and sacrifice of our Father in heaven. Gave us his very best. Paid the ultimate price to redeem us from the curse of the law of sin and death. Make a way for us to come back into right relationship with him as the children of God. And he did it through the body and blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. He held nothing back, but gave us all the fullness of who he is in his Son, Jesus. You'll see in Colossians a couple times it will say that the fullness of God dwelt in him. He had to give us the fullness of who he is in Jesus to redeem us from the curse of the law of sin and death. We were so full of the disease of sin and such slaves of sin that it took all the fullness of God in his Son's body and blood on the cross to redeem us and cleanse us from our sins so we could be forgiven, have peace with God, and be reconciled to him. The word reconcile means to restore to a right relationship or standard, or to make peace where there formerly there was enmity. We were enemies. We were literally enemies of God. But now, through the body and blood of Jesus, we've been restored to right relationship. We've been restored to him as the children of God. How amazing is Father God's salvation. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Remember, we're focusing on the blood and the body of Jesus since we're taking communion today. So, the whole first chapter is so awesome, but I'm just going to share from a few verses that focus today on the blood, what Jesus did for us with his blood and with his body. So verses 13 and 14 tell us this, that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and transported us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. How awesome is that? In whom we have, here we go, redemption. How? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus purchased us, we know, with his blood. We know that Peter tells us we weren't purchased with silver and gold and those type of things, but we were purchased with what? With the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We were redeemed. Redeemed means he had to purchase us. He had to pay a price to buy us back, to bring us back into right relationship with him, to restore us back where we belong, which is with him as the children of God. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Psalm 62 says, he only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress and my defense. I will not be shaken or discouraged. On God, my salvation and my glory rest. He is my rock of unyielding strength. My refuge is in God. Trust confidently in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him, because God is a refuge for us. So we gather today to remember what the blood and body of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us when his body was broken and his sinless, eternal, life-giving blood was shed for our sins on the old rugged cross. Through his blood and body, he brought us into peace with God and reconciled us who were far from him and were enemies in our minds. He gave us forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. And we know that the word tells us there is no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved. We lift high. That's why we lift high and praise the name of the Son of the Most High God. Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah and Lord. Yes, the wages of sin was death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus told us about the bread of heaven, his body and his blood. Also in John chapter 6, verses 51 and 54, this is what Jesus said. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, his body, which I shall give for the life of the world. Verse 54, he says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah. Remember, it took all the fullness of God in Jesus to save us, deliver us, ransom us, and set us free and make us children of God. Can you think about that? Not half of who God is, not just a little bit of who God is to save us. It had to be the fullness of God in Jesus to save us. Wow. That kind of gives me Holy Ghost goosebumps just even saying that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. And God was not ashamed to do this. He was not going to hold back anything to save us. It actually says in this verse that it pleased him. It pleased Father God. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Jesus, what? All the fullness should dwell. He knew what he was doing. He knew that only the fullness of himself in his Son Jesus, who is God himself, also would be the only thing that could save us. So the fullness of God. Jesus is full of grace and truth, John told us, right? He's also full of power. He has all power in heaven and in earth. He's full of righteousness. He's full of mercy. He's full of the love of God. Everything of God is in Jesus. We have a Savior who is in no way deficient in any way at all. He's in no way deficient in wisdom or in power or in his grace to redeem and save us. There is nothing that needs to be done concerning our salvation which Jesus is not qualified to do. If the fullness of God had not been in Jesus, he would have not been fully qualified and able to save us to the uttermost, completely. Amen? That's why it tells us in Hebrews, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to him through faith. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," it is finished. He has done it, and he has won it for us. Then verse 20, look at what it says. "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Constantly talking about his body and his blood. "Only through the blood of Jesus could our sins be forgiven and removed from us as far as the east is from the west." So we could go from the relationship of enemies of God to a relationship of total peace with God, changed literally, as it said back in verse 13, transformed out of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, or as it says here, literally changed from enemies to children and friends. Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. He was fully man to reconcile them on earth, and he's fully God to reconcile whatever needed to be reconciled in heaven. Listen, things just didn't need to be reconciled in earth. Things needed to be reconciled in heaven. And Jesus was able to do just that. That's what he's telling us here. As he hung on the cross, arms stretched out on the cross, with one hand Jesus was reconciling things in heaven. With the other hand, he was reconciling men and other created things on the earth. Verses 21 and 22. "And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works," we've been talking a lot about the blood, but listen to what this says about the body of Jesus. That's why you can never overemphasize one over the other. They're both work together. They're both important, the body and the blood. "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled." Again, the word reconcile literally means to exchange, to bring into a changed relationship. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. We've been changed from enemies of God to friends and children of the Most High God. Literally changed by the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Literally changed, transformed from the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom. That's why Peter says, we are a royal priesthood. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, who should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's that quick. When you pray that prayer of salvation and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you instantly become a new creation in Christ. You are transformed. You are taken out of the kingdom of darkness, and you are put into the kingdom of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's so awesome. This is, let me finish that verse. "Jesus alone did this in the body of his flesh through death. For what reason? To present us holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." Another version quotes those verses like this. This is the easy read version, talking about what Jesus did for us through his body, with his body. "But now he has made us his friends again. He did this by the death that Christ suffered while he was in his body. He did it so that he could present us to himself as a people who are holy, blameless, and without anything that would make you guilty before him. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, and now I see. Hallelujah. So that's why we take the time, and I just wanted to share that. I don't know if you've ever noticed that in Colossians, but when we're taking communion and you're focusing on the body and blood of Jesus, it's good to focus on scriptures that talk specifically about what Jesus accomplished for us with his body and his blood. So as we honor our Lord's command to receive his body, eat his body, and drink his blood in remembrance of how much he loves us and what it cost him to redeem us from the curse of sin and death to establish peace and reconciliation with our Father, may we focus on the wonderful result of this reconciliation, which is, as he just stated in that verse, to present us holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight as his beloved special children. What marvelous grace that ungodly sinners can be delivered from their past evil life and conveyed or transferred into the highest and the most amazing realm of blessing that there is in all of the universe. By nature, we were children of wrath, it says in Ephesians, just like the others. But God was rich in mercy, and because of his great love with which he loved all of us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Messiah. By grace, you have been saved. Where has he placed us? The rest of that verse in Ephesians 2 says, he has raised us up with him and he has seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, or Messiah, Yeshua, in Jesus. Amen? Think of where you were, where we were, and where God has placed us now. We were totally lost. We were in darkness. We were without hope. We were, had no part of the covenants of God whatsoever. But now we are his covenant, blood-bought, special children whom he has made us and taken us, and through Jesus' body and blood is able to present us to himself, holy, blameless, without spot or wrinkle, without reproach in his sight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Through his broken body and his shed blood and death on the cross, Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Father God accepted his son's sacrifice and raised him from the dead, declaring that Jesus had conquered death, hell, and the grave. By our faith in him, we have forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. And one glorious day, Jesus will come and get us. And on that day, the full effectiveness of his reconciliation with regard to us as his people will be seen when he presents us, when we're presented to God the Father without sin, without stain, without any charge against us, and when as worshipers we will joyfully acknowledge Christ as the worthy one. Amen. Let's have the ushers go ahead and pass out the body and the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to just read a little bit from Revelation. While they're doing that, just going to read a little bit from Revelation chapter 5, which gives us a great picture of how they're celebrating what Jesus did for them in heaven. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, well, who is worthy to open the scroll and loose the seals? And the one in heaven, and no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, of the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose the seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, and the 24 elders fell down, the lamb each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Hallelujah. And it says, and they sang a new song, and this is what they were saying. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, and the number of them was thousands times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them," I heard saying, "blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. You and you alone are worthy to receive all honor and glory and power and riches. You, oh, we praise you, Lamb of God, for your body, for your blood, for being willing to be slain for us, to take away our sins and to give us eternal life and to give us the gift of new life, to sign that new covenant in your blood, Jesus, so that we could have the Holy Spirit be poured out upon us and live in us, that we could have you living and dwelling in us, Lord. What an incredible promise of the new covenant, that you would write your laws and your words upon our hearts and our minds, that you would empower us to live holy, righteous lives for you, and to take a stand for righteousness, to work with you, to be with you, to do your will, to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, through us, through the body of Christ, Lord. So we thank you for that. We thank you. What an incredible blessing. You, where you have placed us, there's no higher blessing. There's no higher calling than what you have done for us through the body and blood of your Son, Jesus. We thank you. We acknowledge it, and we thank you for your Son's death, burial, resurrection. We thank you for his ascension. We believe that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and that you are, any day he could come back and take us, and he's going to take us home to a new heaven and a new earth. What a tremendous, glorious, living hope he is, and we have that hope inside of us, Lord. So we thank you, and we do this in remembrance of you. Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Let's receive the body of the Lord together. Remember, it was through his body that we were reconciled to the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. "After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" Let's receive the blood of the Lord together. Through his blood, he redeemed us. Through his blood, we have the forgiveness of sins. We thank you so much, Father, for the incredible blessing that you have given us. And I say with David, as you know, we went through Psalm 103 for a couple weeks. Psalm 103 really is a perfect psalm for communion because David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." He says, "Forget not all his benefits." But for communion, we can say, we remember all of his benefits. We remember, right, that he has forgiven all of our iniquities. He has healed all of our diseases. He has crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He has delivered us from the pit of destruction. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Praise you, Lord. So now we're going to go ahead and continue our celebration through praise and worship. So worship team, come on up and let's praise and worship the Lord with all of our heart. As the Holy Spirit has been sharing with Pete, and we all know this, it's real simple. We just pour out our love and our thankfulness and our gratefulness. Pour out our hearts before the Lord in praise and worship, and he will manifest himself and just meet us here and do incredible things in each one of our lives and in the lives of those that we're called to serve here in this community. Amen?
Amen.
Let's worship.
Hallelujah. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.